on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Shasta Unmasked. We do this every Tuesday, unless we don't, at 6 p.m. Pacific right here on KCNR, 1460 a.m., 96.5 FM. I'm Ashley Winters. I'll be your host for the evening. We have Ben and Jenny Nguyen as our guests. And this is a Soups Gone Wild episode, as now we have the season premiere of Soups today.
Yes, we have. New season, new characters.
Yeah. New season, new characters. Old characters and old standbys are still there, but we got a couple new faces to round out our dais, our wooden room of don't trust anybody.
Absolutely. I can't say that I missed it. I the 2 weeks reprieve on the holidays, that was actually kind of nice not to have that.
It was glorious.
So, let's go ahead and jump right in with the very, very, very first order of business today at the Board of Supervisors, and that was the election of a new old chair.
A new old chair.
None of us are surprised. I mean, no. None of us that are paying any attention were surprised. No, there may have been somebody who was surprised, but it wasn't me.
Kevin has signaled for I think a few months now that he was interested in taking it. He's been on his radio show. I think Nick Gardner on his radio show kind of said, well, yeah, during his first time as chair, for the first 3 months he was under recall, so he deserves another year, which I think is kind of ridiculous, you know, because
it's ridiculous.
Well, what led to his recall was how poorly he conducted himself in the boardroom, so it's kind of silly, you know,
that was an entire reflection based off of his conduct previous to him becoming the chair.
Recall by, I'm told, 26 votes after all was said and done. I mean, the margin was so small, he really should have humbled himself.
Yeah, and I like that you said that in your speech today about how, that should have been a signal to him that he really should humble himself.
Yeah.
Because there is no more glaring example of, you know, the process working itself through.
Yeah.
And if, if you're normal and sane and believe that, you know, there's nobody, not 10,000 dead grandmas trying to vote in a Shasta County election, that, you know, the outcome was almost exactly split. And that is a direct reflection of himself and how he presents himself.
I mean,
not about how he governs, not about, like, you know, not about how he makes decisions. It's how he presents himself.
Because
most of your emotional reaction to voting for somebody is whether or not you like this person. And as much as we try to not do that, that's definitely something that is reflected in a vote. And that was, certainly reflected in how Kevin Cry, how close that recall was.
We're definitely living in a cult of personality. And, like, when we walk into that room, we're supposed to be, we're supposed to be gauging experience and temperament and all these different things. And really what it comes down to is, hey, this is a guy I had coffee with once.
I didn't know that my, like, fascination with the WWE would come in handy in politics as I got older, but, like, it really does feel like that. People walk in and it's like, you know, they flex their muscles and they're like, yeah, and everyone's either like woo or like boo.
I have to say, it's a very good thing that those chairs don't lift off of the floor, because
no folding chairs allowed in the boardroom at all. No, none.
That was for a reason, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ashley, so did you watch the meeting remotely? So you got to see that whole business with the chair vote? I mean, it went on a lot longer than I expected it to.
So I didn't, I can't watch it, but I do listen to it.
Okay.
What's kind of, I don't want to say it surprised me because nothing really surprised me, but I feel like Plummer and Long made a really good argument as to how they would have been just as qualified to be chair as Kevin was. I feel like in all the 4 years that Chris Kellstrom is going to sit there and all those free meals that he's going to enjoy, I don't think he's ever going to be chair.
No, and I mean, as I actually advocated for him to get that position based on precedent. You know, it wouldn't have been a situation where I'm like, well, I like this. Like, I wouldn't have liked it. But if he got it, it would have at least made sense. And they were unwilling to do that. You know, they wanted to flex their muscle and say, you know, my way or the highway.
Didn't they say that this is the first time that a chair has taken it twice since 1958?
Yes.
Something like that. But there's also, I think somebody had mentioned some history that person had chair for like 20 years before that or something like that. I don't know. I'm going to do some research on that one.
Yeah, well, that 1958, that wouldn't happen anymore because now we can only have two terms to the charter.
Right. Exactly.
Well, back then we had such a low population, and I bet you not that many people were that interested in the position in the first place.
No, I've been told these meetings.
Especially back then.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, in the 50s, maybe Reading had a... I don't know what the population of Shasta County was in the 50s and the 60s. Actually, that is a statistic that I am not brushed up on.
Pre air conditioning, we didn't have that high of a population.
Well, up until recently... That's good. Up until recently, those meetings only took like 2 hours. Up until recently, like it was right around 2021. You know, this started ballooning out, and so now it's. I mean, today's meeting was 8 hours.
I have to disagree with you there because the crazy has been coming for a while.
Yeah,
and you could tell because
yes, that's true.
Back in I think it was 2014. Was the chemtrails meeting?
I remember hearing about that. Yeah, but they just smiled and nodded and then sent the crazies away. You know,
that's our benchmark, though.
Yeah,
that's my benchmark anyway, because that's like right before we started Echoplex, and then we discovered that later, and that was like it was like a little nugget of history that we didn't know we needed to complete ourselves.
And some of our supervisors that we know from maybe not today because it's finally a fairly new board, but we had like Les Baugh and you know, like people that we've seen. You know, up until our overturn, thanks to Patrick Jones, a lot of these people were still here during that. So,
yeah.
Like Kehoe, you know, he was there too. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't think Modi was there, you know, the cast characters also, the audience characters were there. Like Raposa was there. Gyoza Raposa was there.
Yes.
I think Raposa was born in that room. Like, I think that there's like a legend that like he just like that like there was like a constitution on the wall and he just like came out of it and there was Terry Raposa and he looked the same. Like he was never a baby.
Yeah, he had that deep booming voice at like infancy.
American flag shirt and all.
Yeah, well that's why, because the constitution was posted by a flag and that's all they had to clothe him with.
Yeah. Well, you put a flag and a constitution together and the right amount of conservatism, and poof, you get a Terry Raposa.
It's true. I bet you there's more than one of them, and we don't even know it.
Perhaps.
That's some witch stitchery if I ever heard of it. No knitting required.
Yeah, so that vote definitely went the way that we all expected. It just the other interesting thing is a woman sat down because she was tired of the fact that, you know, they clearly had a backroom deal and they sat in. She sat in, and the shocking thing to me is the lawyer said, "Hey, you know, Kevin wanted to throw her out. Hey, can we get this woman removed?" And the lawyer chimes in and says, "Well, no, she's not impeding the meeting. Mm-hmm. She's, you know."
So I asked when I got arrested, like, is it just me? And yes, it is.
Yeah, apparently it is just the strawberry.
It's just me. Those strawberries are dangerous.
Yeah,
we did find
that.
Well, when they're made out of hot lava, then, you know, you gotta keep it from burning a hole in the floor wherever it's sitting.
Yeah.
Apparently, and all the supervisors.
Oh, Ashley, okay, so they honored Ace, which was a canine like drug sniffing dog, you know, a canine
yes.
unit, and they because I guess he was getting decommissioned today, and so I was all excited to see the dog, you know, like they were going to bring a dog into the meeting. He never showed up.
Didn't even bring the dog.
No, they didn't bring the dog, and we have a theory. We think, or I think anyways, that they were just too afraid of it finding drugs on citizens in the meeting.
Look, man, I'm from Bernie, and I still remember, they talk about how Kropfler used to do the like, anti-drug stuff in Bernie. It's true. And one time, he brought a drug dog. And the dog came in and just started barking at lockers like crazy. Like, they could not pull him back because he barked at almost every locker. So they just pull him out while he's, like, viciously snarling at all the students and lockers. And they're like, so our dog's having a little bit of a problem right now. So, you know, he'll come back later and we'll do something else today. That's really what happened.
And then he never came back, right?
He never came back, no.
Well, we are up against the break. Jenny, I do want to talk about that protest thing a little bit when we come back. And we'll be right back here with Shasta on Mass.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Shasta Unmasked. I'm Ashley, and we got Ben and Jenny with us here tonight.
Hey.
And we are talking about the Board of Supervisors meeting from today, season opener of Supes. And I want to talk about, for a second, the protester who sat the sit-in protest, as we have seen a couple of times from our lovely strawberry Jenny. And the difference is that in the attitude and the handling of the situation versus when it was Jenny. And I think I want to also take into account a couple of the comments from other public commenters, like, who was it, like, Lori and Leslie and Nick Gardner about, you know, okay, so the protester that sat in Her name was Dawn. I don't know what she looked like or anything because I was, like I said, I was just listening. And I don't know what the protests looked like also because I was just listening. But it seems to me that the difference was, is that nobody really understood what she was protesting about. So they just let her sit there. Because, and as Lamour said, that she wasn't making the meeting impossible to continue. Whereas I really don't see the difference, other than before Jenny was holding a sign.
Well, I can give a little bit of background to this particular, because I saw it happen in real time.
Right.
Awesome. She, so Dawn, she got up. And from, she was sitting in the middle of the room, so she walked almost all the way down the aisle. And when she got up to the dais, she actually said something. She said, "Please stop." And it was during the 4 or 5, you know, substitute motion, you know, that was going on, that whole madness.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cry was continuing to give his case, and you could tell that this was just pre-scripted, and of course, you know, Long and Plummer's comments weren't really going along with what Kevin's show was, so he was getting frustrated, and, you know, they kept shutting him down and using, Kellstrom in order to posture. Anyways, that whole interchange, you know, was getting more and more heated, and it really, they just didn't care. Like, they didn't care that, you know, they were just gonna, Kevin even said, "We're not gonna ram this through." And then they proceeded to ram it through directly mm-hmm. after saying that. So she got up to basically say, "Stop." And she sat down. And mm-hmm. so I don't think they didn't understand. If you listen to Leslie, she basically states, anything that any of us ever say is either untruthful or we hate everything they do because they're them. And that's just not the case. Like,
right.
We just want stable governance that is fair to all of its citizens, not just one specific group.
Well, not even – and to add on top of that, we want the subject matters to be under the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors. Not all this vaccine BS, not all this election denialism stuff.
Yeah.
None of that has anything to do with county business whatsoever.
No, it doesn't.
Can I say that today, on the way to the supervisors meeting, I ran into a homeless man whose sweatshirt was ripped because it was old and had been through some things, and he was just holding it together to stay warm. And that is the supervisor's job. That is the supervisor's job, to protect citizens like that. It's not about election denial or, you know, all of the crazy things that we see. Like, I hate to tell you, even if chemtrails are real, that still wouldn't be within county purview. Like, that's something to talk to someone else about. But how we handle our homeless, how we handle our very poor, how we handle welfare and Medi-Cal is county business. And that really should be what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the things that are under the jurisdiction of the board. Those are the things that they have the purse strings to be able to fund all of the departments that actually are, that have the boots on the ground that are dealing with these issues in the county.
Yeah.
And the fact that they waste so much time and money, as Christian would say, you know, based on how much county time, how, you know, the staff that has to be there, you know, the all of these things that work into the cost of a meeting, the percentage of time that they spend either literally seeking out issues that have nothing to do with them or entertaining ideas and people that continue to drone on about these things, take care of all of that and 30% of the meeting is gone.
Well, and there's a lot of extremist ideologies going on, and it's, you know, Kevin tries to pretend like he's sort of above all of it, but the one that he keeps falling back on is, you know, anything that involves, like, what he considers to be children's safety issues, and they're always out of whack. Like, because today they were talking about reappointing Cindy Vogt to First Five, and they straight up, like, denied her appointment. And she was interviewed by the First Five panelists, and 11 people who were screened didn't get in, or 10 other people didn't get in. She was the one that was picked.
Right.
Wouldn't that go back to why I protested the first time?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of this that happens here where
it's... So let me touch on this subject a little bit, because this is actually somebody I would like to get her on the show and speak with her, because
absolutely,
I think that she's probably got a lot to say. And mostly because, and I love the way that she did this professionally and without any sort of, like, outward malice, but basically calling Kevin out on, he doesn't know her, he doesn't know her record, and he didn't stay to be able to hear any sort of answer or anything to the question or the accusations that he was presenting at the public comment where he was at that meeting or whatever.
The SCOE meeting.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like there's the only person who made the decision to not push that appointment through was Kevin.
It's true.
Because
he's
all of the others, all the other sitting supervisors either are new and aren't familiar with the situation or are Chris Kellstrom. So
there's just FYI, there's a video floating around the social sphere right now of me giving the Hitler salute to Kevin Cry right after he got the chair. Now, and because we need to pay homage to Führer Cry.
Yeah, God. Well, he needs to have Terry Raposa's mustache. So I really feel that that's another huge loss probably for the board that lady was sitting on.
Yeah.
With
a loss for
you
children.
Know, all the experience that she had. And she obviously was very knowledgeable in whenever she, was a plumber, asked her to come up so he can get some more information, which I like this right off the bat about plumber is that he, like, whereas Kevin would shirk things off and kick the can off, to after the meeting was over to get more information, plumber wants it right then and in front of everybody, not like going off and having a personal talk that's not on the record that nobody else is aware of.
Oh, yeah.
To get a bunch of information that we're going to get secondhand from somebody. That sucks.
Can I also state that when I was going to coffees all the time, one of the things that really pissed Kevin off was this people trying to recall him without ever having coffee or talking to him personally or really knowing what he was about or what he was for. Mm-hmm. And yet we see him doing that to people like today. Where literally she was saying the same thing. You don't know me. You don't know what I stand for. And you only have half truths. You never really did learn the full truth before not appointing,
Right.
Yeah. I can tell you why, because very early on in the process, Kevin did offer to take me to coffee, and I refused him for a couple of years. Actually, I never went. I literally could tell you why. It's because I am not interested in what a person tells me directly when they're an elected official. I'm more interested in how they're treating their community as a whole, because they can tell me one thing and then they can go to the next person and tell them one thing and they can go to the next person and tell them the completely, opposing situation. I want to see how he goes on the dais and fulfills his duty as a supervisor by actually speaking to everyone, because you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth in the same meeting and not get caught doing it. But you can't do that if you're one-on-one-ing people.
Right. Well, and also, when you're an elected official with somebody with an agenda like Kevin seems to have, and you have these coffees and these events and things like that, you're not doing those so that you can get ideas from people, really. You're doing that so you can influence this group of people into having the opinion that you're trying to set forth of you personally.
I can see him going to those coffees that it was sort of a mixture of both. That he definitely did listen to people like Nick Gardner and get ideas from him, and he did get, I'm not sure he went followed through with them, but he did listen to ideas and even bring them forward. But they also were for talking about how great he is.
So, no. And you know, while we're on that subject, Kevin is kind of, or maybe that group in general, has kind of given away the game lately. They've been trying to disavow local media. You know, anybody who doesn't sort of speak with their ideologies or their ideas are, you know, immediately discounted and considered, you know, trash news. And they are beginning their own news, you know, media organizations. They're starting to put together, you know, Mountaintop Media, all these other things. And it's kind of super important for us, you know, at this show and us and me, at, like with my breakdown and perhaps other, you know, potential fledgling, you know, upstart news to keep going, because this is going to get worse if we don't step up and we don't have the funding that these guys do.
Yeah. I actually want to talk about, independent media and those things. It's a great way to start, our next segment after we pause for this break.
Bad and I know, but I just don't know. And I hate when I lie, and I hate when you die, and my face don't
know. This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Fott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. I'm Ashley, your host this evening. We have Ben and Jenny in studio talking about today's Board of Supervisors meeting, and we're actually moving into another kind of adjacent subject, which is local media. And what I feel like qualifies as local media, and what else is what the other stuff that's kind of like funny ha-ha.
Citizen journalism?
Well, no, I just, citizen journalist. Lori Bridgeford seems to have a strong opinion about what is and isn't independent media, what is and isn't credible, and how that does and does not apply to her, which is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're going to call into question any other kind of non-mainstream media, non-mainstream journalism, then I would assume that you should also hold yourself to the standards that you are expecting other people to adhere to.
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Once again, you're expecting a lot from Shasta County.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have hope, and then it's dashed immediately after I watch one of these meetings.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So I do want to give credit where credit is due for places like A News Cafe.
Yay.
And Shasta Scout.
Yay.
And Ben on Your Breakdown and independent news media organizations that are willing to also, you know, put themselves out there in an environment that is going to be incredibly hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've seen in several instances about how those journalists are treated when they're trying to just simply report on things from the people who say that the First Amendment is the most important, which definitely also encompasses the freedom of the press.
Yeah.
You know, and then you as a regular citizen and not a citizen journalist, but you as a regular citizen don't get to dictate who and who isn't a journalist based on your fifis.
No, I totally agree. In fact, it's kind of weird how you know proud she is to call herself a journalist because, like, I felt like a fraud, you know, when I first started doing this, like, just because I didn't have a history in it, I didn't have knowledge in it. I had watched a lot of productions. I'd been involved in a lot of.
Well, you worked for News Channel 7 for a little while.
I did. I worked for News Channel 7. I did go to film school, so I understood, like, the technical pieces, how to put it together, but, like, how to tell a story and how to, you know, source information. All of that comes from my analyst background. And it was weird when when those things started to kind of coalesce and come together, I wasn't confident. And it wasn't until I started getting the feedback that I realized, oh, I actually am doing a thing. You know, like this was a sort of a hobby that I was doing, and it became something larger, you know, that people are willing to pay for, which is just like the biggest, biggest.
I personally feel that if you're going to call yourself a journalist, you should probably have stories of some kind, maybe some articles, maybe some, you know, like filmed news. I mean, any of this.
Jenny, you're going right into what was going to be my next point. Show me one place where Lori Bridgeford or Rich Gallardo have posted an article. And not on Facebook. A comment thread doesn't count. Reading Patriots doesn't count. Like, that's not where you post articles or blogs or news segments or any kind of actual beginning to end story that they have produced.
I think they've used Lori Bridgeford's pictures, which they should. She takes so many. I mean, some of those should go somewhere.
Well, I hear she just emails them to the supervisors and talks trash about private citizens, but...
No, but I actually have seen her pictures show up in publications. But that's about as far as it goes. And maybe, like, twice. Not, like, all the time.
Yeah, and I have seen a page that they did have, but it was Facebook. It was literally like a Facebook page, and the articles were super old and they hadn't changed the graphic and stuff. Like it was pretty old and bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. She's constantly taking notes during those meetings, like scribbling on a notepad furiously, and I'm just mm-hmm. like, what are the machinations that are being?
Well, we've seen them. We've
into
seen
them
when she had that little baggie with like that said Nate, and it pointed to an unhappy face, that like the little unhappy.
When she
emoji.
Put printouts of memes in plastic bags,
they weren't even printouts. They were like drawings. I could see them in the pictures.
Yeah. I don't
well,
know.
Well. We can also, you know, admire the art projects that she leaves in the atrium area.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know which one
which,
she had today?
Yeah. Okay. So here we go again, segueing into something else where Dolo came up and was, she had some, every once in a while, she has some really, really good points.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that she made today that really hit home was, is how can the board or whoever is in charge of the area allow a very obviously, medically misinformed, probably racist, displays being left out in that area.
It's actually not a part of, if you look at the board, if you look at the packet, it talks about rules and, you know, what's allowed, and it actually isn't allowed. It actually is one of the things you're not supposed to have, and yet nobody's ever made her take it away.
More than that, I actually think it breaks a particular law. I don't recall which one right off the top of my head, but she used to leave them in the atrium. They're actually, she's not allowed to do that anymore. Actually, I heard that, and it was very quiet. Like it wasn't. I found out sort of after the fact. She's not allowed to put stuff in the atrium anymore, so she's leaving them out in front of the building now. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know the legality differences, you know, because it's still county property.
It's not on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's true. It's not on the sidewalk. So, which even in that case, that's city property. So there are
sidewalks are allowed as long as it's shared with other buildings, because in that point, it's just public property.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jenny is correct.
I know this.
This is true. She does know a lot.
Well, we know this from watching anti-Scientology content where people go and they go stand out in front of a Scientology building, but the guards or whatever keep them out on the sidewalk, and they have to keep all their propaganda, and mm-hmm. they do all their chalk drawings and whatever else.
Yeah, sidewalks are free roam, because that's what it's for. It's for public consumption of, you know, doing whatever you want to do. So if you want to sit out there with a harmonica and, you know, have a sign that is like, about weird conspiracies, they can't stop me from that. Look, someone's calling.
Oh, do we have a call?
Too many vaccines will turn you into Nathan Blaze.
Oh my! We should get more people vaccinated.
No, seriously. So the other media outlet, I guess that because Leslie frequents the Board of Supervisors. Oh, let's go ahead and just take a couple of minutes on her.
She's a paid shill, man.
She, you know what? That is no joke. And the way that, okay, again, if you're going to be a journalist and you're going to call yourself a journalist and you want to, talk about being in the media, you cannot so obviously stand a single supervisor like Leslie stands for Kevin.
So it's not just Kevin.
It is almost embarrassing.
Yeah.
What? Are you saying you can't be a bootlicker if you're also a journalist? I'm just asking. Can't shine boots with your tongue here.
Here's the funny thing. I'm going to defend her, but you're not
going to be very credible.
Well, because we do know what the First Amendment's for, right? It's not just existing because we have the rights to do whatever we want. It exists to hold government accountable.
Yes.
It's actually the most, it's why it's the First Amendment, because it was illegal to have news and outlets and ways to propagate information, and they did it illegally until we defeated Britain, and so it was a big deal.
You couldn't speak against the king, you couldn't speak against the state religious house, you couldn't speak against mm-hmm. The things. Yeah, so that is what
and we can't speak out against Führer Cry.
Yeah.
You get arrested for signs.
Yeah. You're going to need a bigger sign.
No, it's illegal. You can't have bigger signs in that room. They said so. My sign was within regulation.
We actually did research, made sure it was in regulation size.
I read my rules.
What is it, 8x10 or something? No,
it's a little bit bigger than that.
It's like an 8
is it 11x13?
Yeah,
I think that's it.
11x13, that sounds right.
You can't go any larger. Any larger?
You know, I have a laminator. I could laminate them large signs for you. I can make it so it's like a whiteboard, so you can change your sign.
That's what I told her to do.
Yes, but we can't have the larger signs because those get kicked out. Now, I guess I got arrested for my perfectly legal sign, but
right. Also, let's just touch on real quick that journalists and other media hosts really, really, really do not need to advocate for people who are following their constitutionally protected protest abilities, that they need to have, like, some kind of stronger punishment for doing something that they're able to do legally. Yeah. Like,
Can I make mention that Lawyer Bridgeford has brought bigger signs and brighter signs and more obnoxious signs and has plastered the whole place, yet she's never been arrested?
Oh, yeah. They had to create a rule.
Yeah.
Because Rich Gallardo and Lori Bridgeford, like, taped memes and pictures and Facebook posts all over the walls.
They like their craft.
Yeah, they do. They have a Joanne's gift card.
Me to shame. They put me to shame. Like, I just use, like, maybe that's it. Maybe they're just, like, those signs are tacky. You just use some Crayola. Like, I like, laminated mine, and it has pictures. Like, I'm like, maybe that's it. I don't know. I got arrested for lack of creativity.
Highlighter and certain it's bad.
All righty. So we're up against our last break. Yay. And then when we come back, we'll finish off what happened during the rest of the meeting and talk about what we hope is coming in the future and what we're probably going to get instead. We'll be right back here. I'm just
waiting for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
If you haven't been listening to TV Confidential, this is who you're missing.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Eric Braden.
Samson Williams.
Burt Ward.
Peter Marshall.
Lindsay Wagner.
Loretta Swit.
Michelle Nichols.
Shirley Jones.
Louise Sorrell.
Good actor. A lovely and chatting interview.
It's all the
conversation. It wasn't an interview.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do. I try to make this a conversation.
You made it.
That's TV Confidential.
Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Like Nintendo. I love that song.
That's a great song.
Oh my God.
So I want to go ahead and talk about the end of this meeting and talk about what we hope is going to be the, what's coming, what we hope is coming. Because there's a lot of good cues in what we saw today that gives me some... Oh, I don't use the term hope loosely, but gives me some insight maybe as to maybe the attitude going forward. But first, from what I understand, we have a call. So let's go ahead and take that real quick, and then we'll move on. Hello, hello? Hello, you're on Shasta Unmasked. How can I help you?
Hey there. Yep, hi. I had a friend just call me and tell me that I was being mentioned profusely. My name's Lori, and anyone can be a citizen journalist. You don't have to go to a journalism school. You can be a photojournalist. You can be a copy editor. You can be a lot of things just because the mainstream corporate matrix legacy media has not been doing their job in the last few decades. So anyway,
we totally understand that. But calling yourself a citizen journalist and then expecting other people who also call themselves journalists to hold themselves to a higher standard than you hold yourself is kind of unfair.
Well, is your name Ashley?
It is.
Echoplex? Yeah. I saw you videos a few years ago with Nathan and so forth, vaping and whatever. But that's okay. You can vape. I'm just saying citizen journalist is a key word. Citizen journalist. That means everyone that can pay attention, focus as to who, what, where, when, and have some details and be factual. They qualify because it's so bad right now.
Well, if you're going to call yourself a journalist, then you also have to have a, you know, as somebody who consumes journalism, I guess, or a journalist, articles or stories or projects, like, you don't really put out any. You seem to collect a lot of information,
well,
but you don't really seem to do a whole lot with it.
Here's, honestly, you don't see what I do.
That's what I'm saying. I don't see what you do anywhere.
I know, but so what do I call myself then when I'm doing a massive amount of work? I'm doing
a hobbyist?
Well, if you want to go that way, I'm just saying it doesn't help to slam people that are trying to expose and make up for the mainstream.
Nobody's slamming you for your journalism. Nobody's slamming you, honestly. We just don't really agree with your tactics and think that the way that you are
treated, as
far as your signage and the things that you put out in front of the chamber is a little bit lopsided.
I was allowed to. For years, I was allowed in the back hallway, and then recently it said because of probably Mr. So-and-so stealing my stuff, tearing it, ripping it up, and destroying it, they probably thought, well, why don't you go outside? So, no, tables are going to be outside because of that one individual that you all know. And he's still...
Lori, are you saying that signs are allowed here, that you shouldn't be arrested for signs? I just want to hear that from you.
No, I'm saying I've been allowed for years to be in the back for
you. So signs are allowed.
If you've been allowed for years, then why isn't
anybody
everybody
else is? Then no, why
allowed?
Is anybody else not there? I'm just saying, I just have a small table. I have cards, information. We're looking to expose fraud and corruption. That's all. I'm not here to bash you guys. I'm just saying, I just heard I was being slammed and defamed.
What kind of fraud and corruption is a private citizen capable of?
Anything. You give a tip line, a hotline, and you say, what do you know about the DA? What do you know about mental health? That's not what I'm asking.
Anybody who's going to call your tip line is probably going to be giving you some pretty hinky stuff. But what I'm asking is, as far as your table is concerned, like, what is the point of trying to expose fraud and corruption by putting somebody like Nathan on blast on your table? That seems very personal.
Oh, you mean when he's giving me the middle finger?
Nathan is an elected official.
Giving me
he's not letting me answer. He doesn't work for the county.
It's not illegal.
Ma'am, I'm talking.
Ashley, you're not letting me answer.
And Lori, what have I done to you?
Hey, hold on.
Oh, you've called me plenty of stuff. I'm just saying.
What I've been calling is, Lori, if you're not going to stop talking and let me ask you a question, I'm going to hang up on you.
Well, I want to answer, but you don't give me a chance.
Well, I haven't finished asking my question, so why don't you just give me a second here? If you are looking to expose fraud and corruption along the lines of quote-unquote journalism that you do with election fraud and vaccine stuff and chemtrails and all that stuff, what is the point of making the subject of your display a private citizen who holds no office, does not work for the county, and to hear you guys talk about it is a loser that has no influence and is constantly looking for 15 minutes of fame that he can't get? What is the point of focusing on that instead of the fraud and corruption that you are so dead set on exposing?
We're all citizens. We all have a voice. We all have the First Amendment. I don't swear.
You're not answering my question.
Profane.
That has nothing. That's
saying,
not
we all have
question.
The right. That's our building.
What is the point of putting a private citizen on display when your major
it's
focus
not,
of
me.
Your citizen journalism is to expose major fraud and corruption on levels that involve thousands of people to be working on one conspiracy for decades? What is your point?
We're inviting people, if they want to be a whistleblower anonymously, that they have a safe place to give us information, and then we will deep check fact.
You're not answering my question.
I know for a fact that
I
there
sure
are
am.
Some
it's
places.
Just,
no, you're wrong. Goodbye. So, we're done. I'm done with her.
Because personally, I have a few questions. Like, if a school... If a person posted the same kind of information about other students mm-hmm. that she was posting about me, about Benj, mm-hmm. about Nate, what would that mm-hmm. be called? That would be called bullying.
Yes,
outside
absolutely.
Of it being bullying, it wouldn't be allowed to be posted on school walls or within school property because it's
yeah.
bullying.
Do we want to, because we only have a few minutes left, do we want to talk about the end of the meeting?
I do want to talk about the end of the meeting, but I want to make one point real quick.
Go.
And that is, I asked her a very specific question. It may have been a little bit long-winded, but the point was a minuscule point. And that was, what is the point of
is she trying to accomplish?
Making a display of a private citizen when this is the goal of your journalism? And she wouldn't answer that, that question.
No.
So.
She said that it's about whistleblowing, but how do you whistleblow on a private citizen? What are they doing?
Nothing. Doing yeah. literally nothing. Okay, so the end of the meeting or the rest of the meeting, I might.
quite a bit happened.
Right
it was
now.
A very long meeting, but I can summarize some of the main talking points. Now, there was like five different items, C items that were pulled, and I'm not going to really go through all those. The one I thought was the most interesting was the Cindy vote thing, but then there was also the budget amendment for the $2.5 million for Crawfaller, which, you know, they were just going to push on through. And during the meeting, Kellstrom basically stated, oh no, that money has already been spent. We already spent the money. We just have to move it around now, which I don't know how that is legal for them to have done.
Can I state that while they're giving one dude $2.5 million for being called a Nazi when he actually dresses like a Nazi at parties and has Nazi parties, mm-hmm. There are county employees who are currently looking for a raise and currently looking for better benefits, and there's crickets. Like, so they're willing to give $2.5 million to one dude.
Oh, and let's not forget, Crawfaller was involved in Modi's recall. He actually got one of the police or sheriff's unions to make a misleading card, you know, that stated that, you know, that Modi was being misleading about something. And I'd have to go back and look at exactly what it was, but I know he was involved pretty heavily. So when I see him get $2.6 million out of the county after the board has sort of flipped to a new group, it makes me feel like some of that money might flow back, and you'll want to keep your eye on that, actually. Like if a PAC is formed, or, you know, new people start showing up and they have, you know, unforeseen funding, who knows?
Yeah. So real quick, with these three new supervisors, I'm really hoping that there's going to be a kind of a power shift, and not like a power shift like Kevin's ever going to stop trying to absorb all of the power like roll of bounty tissues, but that maybe it will mellow him out some, and Chris Kellstrom will maybe under dissent a little bit more when it comes to maybe, like, I don't know, questionable items that should be either looked at more or taken on in a different capacity.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see what kind of influence rolls forward. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic to look at, and I think that going forward, watching things play out is going to be is going to be real interesting. But I think that we are probably up against the end of the show here, and I would like to thank you guys, as always, for being our best guest hosts. We might as well just call you just the hosts at this point, because you guys are on.
Do we get, like, our jacket, like Saturday Night Live?
I think we should have jackets.
The five-timers.
Yep. But, yeah, thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you again on the next Shasta Unmasked.
Love you, Shasta.
Good night, everybody.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.